Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assist!
Go.
That just makes me
like
smile,
that,
man.
I like that.
That
one.
Makes me smile.
I like that one.
Andrew Mason writing at DenverFan.com how Albert Okwuegbunam may be emerging as Tim Patrick's replacement. Nathaniel Hackett was raving about Albert O yesterday, even saying he's getting better as a blocker. I know Eric Saubert's been a nice story to this point. Greg Dulcich, at this point, I have no expectation whatsoever.
Sure.
Of him being able to make any kind of immediate impact to start the season. So, Albert O, when you're talking about how important you say the tight end is in this West Coast offense, pressure's on Albert O because he is the tight end with the most potential here.
Yeah, Albert, well, what did I tell you last year?
What did I say? He was better than Fant last year.
Last year. I told you he's a better route runner. He's better in the middle of the football field. He's just a better option. And listen, this guy has got great movement skills. And I'm not just talking about his ability to run fast. I'm talking about his ability to separate, his ability to set people up, his ability to understand and use leverage as a route runner. If he can become a competent blocker, I don't need him to be George Kittle. Just competent. Just be a competent blocker. Then he gives you some options. He gives you some ability. And he is one of those dudes that can be a problem when it comes to a defense going, how are we going to defend this particular guy? What are we going to do to basically take him out of the middle of the football field? So, yeah, I think he's legit.
Jake Shapiro writing at DenverFan.com about the interview that Stokely and Zach did with Josh Johnson yesterday. I was listening, and they did an outstanding job, and Josh was really good to listen to. Boy, what a nomadic journey he's had around football. Double-digit the amount of teams he's been with over the course of his career. How much attention are you paying to the backup QB battle between him and Rippon?
Well, I mean, not a ton, you know. Everybody talks about Rip, his unbelievable knowledge of the game and what he provides from that particular standpoint. And is he a guy that you could sneak through waivers and get back on your practice squad? Is he still eligible? Like, all those questions have to be asked. I just don't know, Mike, that you, as a franchise, will keep. I just don't think you're going to keep three quarterbacks. And the reason is, you know, last year notwithstanding, Russell's never been hurt. Well, he's been hurt, but he's never missed time.
Okay, I'm knocking on wood here.
Right. Yeah. I get, but...
don't put that out there in the universe.
No, last year was...
Yeah, exactly.
Last year was a freak show.
It was
a freak thing, so...
Other than that, he's never missed a game.
No, so I just think that you probably don't keep three quarterbacks.
Does it surprise you how many contending teams in the NFL are so thin at the backup quarterback position to the point where is it almost like teams are saying, hey, it's hard enough to find 32 starting quarterbacks in this league, never mind finding good backups. Hey, if our starter goes down, we're screwed anyway, so why overinvest in the backup?
I think the smart teams invest in a good back, but I think there are so few guys that literally can play. Like, you know, there's a few teams that have, you know, there's probably let's call it a third of the teams that will start backups. I mean, I'm sorry, but the kid in Houston,
Davis Mills.
Yeah, Davis Mills. What they got going on in Seattle? Yeah, he's got a big neck.
He got a big neck.
Long neck.
Mike Glennon says that's a long neck.
Yeah, not Mike Glennon. Shoot, this guy looks freakish. Seattle is going to start a backup quarterback in Carolina. They're starting backup quarterbacks. I mean, can we go through the list of in Atlanta? They're going to start a backup quarterback. In Pittsburgh, they're going to start a backup quarterback. They're all backups.
Yeah.
I mean, just because they're starters doesn't mean they're not backups.
At DenverFan.com, Magic Mike Evans writes this.
I made the front page again. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Holy.
Getting a nickname.
Self-promotion.
I have to thank the listeners. Great job, because you came up with the nickname. We decided I needed a nickname to get James Merrillat's attention.
Right.
And, 2 weeks in a row, baby. So my Drop the Mic article, presented by TNT Home Services, talks about... I'm very proud of my first line, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to read your stuff.
I know you're not. You never read my stuff.
Read it to me. Let me hear it.
I write, hot takes as we get set for hundreds of phony Cowboy fans to descend upon UC Health Training Center.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Hot take.
There are going to be a lot of them out there tomorrow.
Oh.
Get ready.
Oh, there's...
Nauseating.
There's all kinds of Cowboy fans. I do.
How many of them are real Cowboy fans, or how many of them are Cowboy fans? Because it's the trendy thing to do.
Like, you know what I want to see?
It's like walking around with a Steph Curry jersey these days.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Cecil Lammy in a pair of shorts,
ooh,
cowboy boots,
a
big belt buckle,
yep,
and a giant hat.
Stirrups?
Oh, yeah.
Stirrups, clinging and clanging.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Ka-ching.
Chaps?
Maybe chaps. You know, the shorts and then the chaps over the shorts.
Yep.
With a lasso.
By the way,
strapped to his side.
Quick aside. Cecil yesterday and seeing Orlando around. Is there a talk show duo in this country who has two guys that have lost as much weight as these two have combined?
That's a great...
Two dudes.
I'll put them up against anybody in the country.
Right.
Ultimate dudes.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. From fat to skinny.
Yeah, both
of them. We changed the name of the show. From fat to skinny. With Orlando and Cecil. Raj,
I like that.
Mark it down.
Hey.
You know, that's what I get paid for. Come up here with great ideas.
Hey. Look at this one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So anyway, one of the points I made in the column.
Mm-hmm. Magic Mike.
Is that, boy, it is so evident when you watch the offense versus the defense. You see an offense that doesn't have an identity yet. It's grinding. Nothing smooth. There isn't a whole lot of bravado out there. There's not a whole lot of hoot and hollering. And that was... 100% to be expected. But the good news is, you look at the defense, they look like a unit.
Yeah.
You see cohesion.
Right.
And you see an attitude. You see a confidence. And
here's what concerns me. Can I tell you what concerns me about the offense?
About the offense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I tell you what concerns me? Is when you have a dominant leader like Russ, you just expect Russ to hoist everybody on his shoulders and carry them. And I come from... I cut my teeth in this league where the Hogs in Washington set the tone of practice. And then when I came here to Denver, Alex Gibbs, the offensive line, and even Mike would tell us, you guys... We had John Elway. You guys set the tone. Our offense will either practice or not practice well based on the tone you set up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that about every football team. You set the tone up front, both D-line-wise and O-line-wise. And if you can't dominate that facet of the game, you can't set a tone. It's really hard to set a tone outside the numbers, right? In the periphery, the ball handlers. It's really hard to set that tone because the tone gets set through physicality. And if you're getting your butt whipped on one of every two dropbacks, if you're not setting the tone in the running game, like, it's really difficult.
Yeah, and the other concern is all these guys on offense are just looking at Russ like, Russ will do it.
Right.
Don't worry, Russ will do it. Whereas one of the great things about covering you guys back when you were winning back-to-back, man, you walked into your locker room, and there were, well, to steal a line from Aqib Talib, there were dogs all over the place. There were leaders all over the place. Yeah, you had John freaking Elway as your quarterback.
Right.
But at times, you'd walk around that room, you wouldn't even know John was there. But, you know, there's outsized personalities like Shannon and Rod, mm-hmm, and just pros like, Howard Griffith and you know, and that's just on the offensive side of the ball. And,
right,
and then all you guys down there in the corner in the old line. So it wasn't like everybody on that offense was like, well, don't worry, John will take care of it. No, you guys you had plenty of guys.
Oh, yeah.
Who knew how to lead and to take control and to get in people's butts if needed be. And you wonder if this offense has any of those guys.
Yeah, I think that's part of the developmental phase, and you can't allow one dude, you can't let it all fall on one dude's shoulders. You can't. But, you know, it's hard when you don't have an established group up front either. You know, when you're like rotating guys and you don't have one group that says these are our guys, and you're still waiting for some injured guys to come back and play, and that's hard to do.
Will Peterson writes at DenverFan.com about how it's time for the Avalanche to pay Nathan MacKinnon whatever price he's asking. We talked a little bit about this yesterday in the wake of our Avalanche insider Adrian Dater writing that, indeed, Nathan MacKinnon wants to become the highest paid player in the NHL. And if you're looking at Connor McDavid's 8-year, $100 million, $12.5 million per year contract as the standard bearer, you know, can you afford in a tight salary cap world like the NHL, can you afford to pay Nathan MacKinnon that money? Will says, yeah, give him whatever he wants. And in this case, I completely agree with Scrappy Will. He's earned the right to be the highest paid player in the NHL.
You make him the highest paid player. And you know what? Ultimately, it's a feather in the cap of the organization. Once it gets done, and I believe it will get done, Mike, it's a feather in the cap because you do it the right way, you play the game the right way, and there was no question. You know, going into that series against the Oilers, where everybody's saying Connor McDavid is the best player in hockey, there was no question who the best player in hockey was when you put them in a side-to-side comparison. When you talk about playing all 200 feet of the ice, on the defensive side, the effort that you give and the attraction that you are and the freeing up of other players that you create, there was no question in my mind watching that series, like, this ain't close. It's not close.
And Will did a nice job of working the salary cap gymnastics as to, you know, how you can make $13 million per year fit.
Uh-huh.
And you start looking around, yeah, they're paying Rantanen big money, Makar big money, Landy big money, but you have enough contracts that you can have coming off the books, guys like Eric Johnson, maybe a JT Compher. You could trade eventually Samuel Girard. He's a big ticket guy with over $5 million per year. And, you know, the Avalanche have done such a great job under Joe Sakic of layering their roster where, yeah, you have the big star players, but you've also got these young players that are developing behind.
Right.
Now you trust that the Alex Newhooks of the world and the Bo Byrams of the world are really ready to step up and take roles.
They did in the playoffs.
Especially Bo Byram. That's why if you look at it and say, okay, maybe if we need to move on with a Sammy Girard in order to be able to fit a Nathan MacKinnon in, we can do it and not miss a beat. Check all of the articles at DenverFan.com, where, of course, all the content is free. As we get set for the arrival of the Dallas Cowboys, who better to have on than former Cowboy great, one of your Fox teammates,
yes,
in the broadcast booth.
One of the other guys that gets forgot all the time when they ask questions about back-to-back championships and they don't call on me or Moose.
Daryl Moose Johnson joins us. Moose, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah, we do seem to get left out of that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's just atrocious. Now, you're a Syracuse guy. You know, my partner Mike here is a Syracuse guy as well. Geez. And I was just wondering, you guys were on campus at the same time, I was wondering if.
No, but I think we did bump into each other multiple times at Sutter's Mill.
Yes! Sutter's no longer there. Very disappointing.
No longer there.
No, when Moose graduated, I was a sophomore. I got to watch Moose play for a couple years.
Did you ever try to get his autograph? Did he big time you?
I never tried to get his autograph. No. Hello, Mr. Johnson.
This is so much fun for me. Hello, Mr. Moose.
Can I get your autograph? Yeah. No, I never did. Okay. Don't worry.
All right. Good. So hey,
hot snot.
Well, I know you're driving cross country, right? You're taking your daughter to Syracuse?
Yeah, we're gonna be hitting out a little bit later this morning. So get about halfway, get to Nashville today, and then actually it's been great because I live about 3.5 hours from there. So going back and forth a couple of times a year, I've gotten to see my mom and dad on a much more regular basis. So it's worked out really well.
Well, actually, this is kind of funny because my daughter is going to Syracuse as well, and I did that same exact thing last year for her freshman year, drove her across country with all her stuff. So I know you're going to have a blast. It's a great, great thing.
You did Colorado to Syracuse?
I did Colorado to Syracuse in 2 days.
Nice. Where's your halfway point?
It was in Illinois in where the you were near there where
Joliet. I was in Joliet area.
Yeah, in Illinois. So I got to about Joliet before. I said that's enough.
That's awesome. And yeah, that's just awesome. Hey Musa, as we get ready here, Cowboys 12-5 last year, which means, as you well know, they won't win the division this year because nobody's back to back division winner since Philly back in the early aughts, 2004 and 2005 or something of that nature. So but where are you with the Cowboys right now? What do you think of them as a football team and kind of how they're constructed and what the Broncos may be facing tomorrow?
Yeah, we talked about a little bit about this at seminar. And for me, there was a really good article written here. And it's kind of, you know, we all get caught up in these TV shows and they go, you know, seasonally. So, you know, when Ted Lasso comes out season 3, we're all going to go back and watch the end of season 2 just to kind of refresh our memory. And, you know, you go back and you watch that film of the San Francisco game, and Dallas really, really struggled in the offensive and defensive lines. And you and I both know how important that is. You know, that's the key battle that tips that tide. So because of salary cap, they may not be as strong this year as they were last year in both of those positions. So that's my biggest concern for Dallas right now. Wide receiver is had some injury issues during training camp. You know, can CeeDee Lamb be a true number one and carry? How long does it take Michael Gallup to get back? You know, can Noah Brown step up and kind of get out of the role that he's had for a number of years, who I really like. I really like Noah Brown. But they're going to have to lean on some other guys. And how well will the protection be? How well will the running lanes be generated by an offensive line that's got a tremendous amount of changeover in it? And just getting those 5 guys, you know, in sync and moving together and blocking together. And then the other side, rushing the passer, we know how good Micah Parsons is, but he needs to have somebody else. You know, it really is time, you know, for DeMarcus Lawrence to step up and have another one of those good seasons off the edge. Dorrance Armstrong could be a name that you hear a little bit about. But my biggest concern for Dallas is just in the offensive and defensive lines and how do they match up. And when you talk about since 2004, having that back-to-back championship in the NFC East, I would say when you look at the NFC East, the team that you would be concerned about is Philly. Now Dallas handled Philly very well last year. You know, they put up 41 on them. They put up 51 on them. You know, they matched up well last year. I don't know if that happens this year. You know, Philly's always had a good offensive line. Jeff Stoutland does a great job. They've got some guys coming back. Brandon Graham will be back. Josh Sweat had a nice year. So they've got some guys that can exploit the weakness for Dallas. And then for me, I think the way the season starts off, you know, Dallas has got to play the Rams, the Bucks, and the Bengals in the first 5 before they play Philly. Philly doesn't really have anybody. They've got one tough game. So you look at the win total from, you know, what these two teams are going to do in those first five games. Dallas's opponents average 11 wins from last year. Philadelphia's average 5.5. So what is that record going to be when they meet in week six? I think that that's going to be interesting to see, too. Dallas could be coming into that game, you know, 3-2, you know, 2-3. You know, Philly could be walking in at 4-1, potentially 5-0. And that's a tremendous amount of confidence, you know, trying to steal that early division lead.
Busy with Daryl Moose Johnston, former Cowboys great, Fox analyst, just mm-hmm. like Stink over there. The Cowboys clearly wanted Randy Gregory back. They thought they'd get him back. Instead, he signs with the Broncos. What are the Broncos getting in Randy Gregory?
Well, tremendous upside if he's taking care of his business. You know, I think Dallas was surprised, which they shouldn't have been, right? The biggest driver in these situations is always going to be finances. Dallas was very, very loyal to Randy Gregory. Stood by his side, helped him navigate some of his demons, got him to the point where he was going to have an opportunity to hit the free agent market and command a big salary. We talked about Dallas being strapped on their salary cap and not going to be able to match that number. So, you know, I think they may have been surprised that there wasn't a little bit more loyalty there, but a guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. And, you know, when Randy Gregory is on, he is tough. He's the one guy that really kind of stood out in that San Francisco game to finish up the year in the playoffs. I remember when they were debating drafting him and how highly Rod Marinelli spoke of him and just, you know, what a difficult decision it was going to be because of the issues that he had. And would he be available? You know, that's the biggest question, you know, is availability. You know, hopefully he's got all that behind him. He sees the potential that he can have a nice NFL career. So Denver's got a very good edge pass rusher who's underrated, you know, as an all-around defensive end, you know, in the run game as well. And if he is in the right frame of mind and has got everything in place in his personal life, they've got a good player. They've got a very good player, and Dallas lost a very good player.
Moose, you've been doing this for Fox for, gosh, 20-plus years, right? I mean, it's been an incredible run, and I'm sure during that time you've covered Russell Wilson a ton. What is it that sets him apart, and what are your expectations for the Broncos with Russell Wilson?
He's definitely one of those high-tide-type quarterbacks. You know, he makes everybody a little bit better. He's a lead-by-example guy. He's a grinder. He's got incredible leadership skills. He thinks about the game in a way that's very unique. I remember we had him early on, and he had transferred from NC State to Wisconsin for his last year. And, you know, we kind of talked about that, and he said, well, the reason I did that is I looked across the college landscape, and I knew the knock on me was going to be my size and how is he going to perform in an NFL pocket. And so I wanted to find the colleges with the biggest offensive linemen that I could play behind and kind of negate that theory that the NFL scouts were going to talk to me about. So he's very conscientious. He's very forward thinking. He's very smart. He's very calculated. Guys will love him. They will fall in behind him. And he's got that unique ability. And whether it's a coach or a quarterback, he has that ability to inspire everybody around him to earn his respect. And it's a very unique skill. I mean, Troy had it. You wanted Troy to respect you as a player. You know, my college running back coach, Jim Hoffer, changed my life. And I wanted Jim to respect me as a good football player. And Russell has that unique ability where he's going to inspire people to want to play hard so that Russell respects them as a teammate and a player.
Moose, Syracuse to Denver is 1,700 miles. Dallas to Syracuse is only 1,500 miles. Moose, you got this. You got this.
It's easy. It's a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Get a perfect split right there in Nashville. Get a good night's sleep, and then we'll go see mom and dad, and then we'll cruise in on that third day in the morning.
All right, man. Hey, Moose, always appreciate you, man. Best of just everything. Best to everything for you this season. Look forward to talking to you during the course of the year. And travel safely, my friend.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, you have a great season as well. And yeah, let's stay in touch during the year when we get those crossovers.
Absolutely. Thank you, buddy. All right, there he goes. Moose Johnston, former Cowboy great, joining us on the Johnston Auto Plaza hotline. You are such a Richard Nine.
Well, I thought maybe he remembered.
Yeah, he remembered.
Little chubby kids sliding into the...
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. Johnston, can I have your autograph? My name is Mike Evans. I'm in the Syracuse Journalism School. It's going to be a great career for me.
I watched you the other day against Penn State. You were awesome.
Remember when you hit that one guy? Man, you really hit him hard.
But I love you. Okay. Coming up is Nathaniel Hackett getting frustrated with his very own offense. That's next.
You're going to need a bigger boat. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' big story of the day.
Fine, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big is big. Big, huge.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
There was some better stuff. There were just a couple major plays that didn't go right, which upset me yesterday. I think today, overall, was good. We actually changed up kind of how we did some things. So they responded pretty well for that. I thought we had some good explosive plays and some efficient plays, and I thought the defense was able to hang in tight there, too.
Breaking news. I don't even care whatever happened yesterday. In practice, I don't even care that there are new owners. Right there, Nathaniel Hackett admitted he got upset. Nathaniel Hackett?
Right.
Can he get upset?
Yes. Yeah. That is big news. I didn't even put two and two together there, Mike. Big news.
Big news. Well, I told you. Big story.
Yeah, big story.
He admitted he was upset.
By the way, that music just makes me smile. You guys may not like it, but it makes me smile, and it's my show. So... whatever makes me smile.
So he acknowledged that he hasn't been happy with the offense, wasn't happy with him on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on to say yesterday he was asked about Jerry Jeudy and how Jerry Jeudy is progressing. But I think he lent a little bit more insight into the challenges that this offense is facing trying to pick everything up.
For sure, him. I think everybody. I mean, we've been having, and I know it's small things, but we're talking like just how people line up. They might line up 1 yard too wide or 1 yard too less. It really affects the entire spacing of the play. We want to be so intricate in our details. So I think what you're seeing is everybody getting to understand the system and now getting that extra yard, which now makes it even time up better, understand the play. And, you know, Jerry had a couple. He had a nice one there at the end, which was great. They're definitely doing a fine job.
I got the sense, listening to Nathaniel Hackett yesterday, there is some frustration seeping in. That there was a sense for him that they would be further along offensively. And that there's some frustration that it isn't clicking yet.
Yes.
That he thought it would be more advanced, more progressed to this point.
Right. Let me ask you this. Does it concern you that here we are in year three with the best receiver on the board, the best receiver in the best receiving class in the history of the draft, and we have alignment mistakes, and I know it's a new offense, but does it give you pause or does it give you concern that Jerry Jeudy may never live up to the potential of being that guy?
Jeudy! Okay.
Because when you look at that class, there are second rounders in that class that are further along than Jerry Jeudy.
He was drafted in what, 2000? This is his third year, so 2020, right? Yeah. 2020.
Yeah.
NFL draft.
Right. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is ahead. Justin Jefferson is ahead. You know, I mean, there are guys littered across the draft that right now...
Here are the receivers that were picked after Jerry Jeudy. Jeudy went 15.
Mm-hmm.
CeeDee Lamb went 17. Jalen Reagor went 21. Justin Jefferson, 22.
Mm-hmm.
Other receivers in the second round. Now we're in the second round. T. Higgins went 33. Michael Pittman went 34. Laviska Shenault. See you.
Well, he went to Jacksonville. He went to Jacksonville. Nobody knows.
So who knows?
Nobody knows what he's doing.
Who knows what he's doing?
There's not one person in the NFL that even knows. Like, you might as well go to Siberia.
So those.
What was the guy from? Was the guy from Pittsburgh? Was he in that draft class as well? The second rounder from Pittsburgh.
Claypool. Yes, Chase Claypool went 49th.
Yeah, I mean there's
AJ Hamler.
This is really my fault.
Well, if you're willing to own up to it, yeah. Right.
I'm just asking you, is it becoming a concern?
There's two ways. I look at Jerry Jeudy two ways. Look, if you're going to, one part of me is, hey, I have to give him a bit of the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't played with a good quarterback. He hasn't had a good offensive coordinator.
Right, but that has nothing to do with how you line up or the effort that you give.
There's part of me that's, I look at his career to this point as an incomplete.
Okay.
But if you're asking me, you have to right now tell me whether or not Jerry Jeudy is going to have an above average NFL career or average to below average NFL career, I'd go with average to below average if I was forced to pick right now.
So you don't have, like, right now, delineating line.
Yep.
You one or the other. You can't stomp all over the line.
And I can't have an open mind, and I can't be willing to let this thing play out a little bit more. If I had to choose now.
Okay, so here's the two options. So live up to expectations or don't live up to expectations.
Don't live up.
There's not even any thinking.
If you're out there every day watching him, you just don't see anything yet that says that he's ready to put it all together.
Yeah, it's not even for me right now. And hey, listen, man, I hope to be wrong. I mean, the first to admit, I was Bolsey's number one critic. I'm glad I'm wrong. It took years for me to get there.
I came from the mud.
But I'm happy that he's playing good football. Or that the last couple of years he's played really good football.
But, okay, now let me go back to the part of me that is trying to give and be open-minded about Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. You're saying that you're, at this point, why you're not lining up correctly. Well, when Peyton Manning got here, he was leaving notes in Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker's lockers saying, hey, you got to line up this way and that way. So those were really good receivers.
Yeah.
Really good receivers who still had to be told, hey, this is where you need to go.
Well, there's a level of attention to detail that those guys probably didn't have. They certainly didn't have it when Tim Tebow was playing quarterback or Kyle Orton was playing quarterback or, you know, give me a litany of the other guys that were playing. They didn't have it. And so,
they had already established themselves to a certain level of professionalism.
Right, I understand.
You're saying Jeudy has
it. But again, it comes down, for me, it comes down to your overall understanding, your global perspective, and this is what Nathaniel Hackett is trying to teach, your global perspective, your understanding of the game, your understanding of how things tie together and the importance of these things, and sometimes the importance of them is not so that you can have a big play, but it's so that your teammate can have a big play. And it all works together. And so, you know, I mean, those obviously we're early. We want to see it. You're right about never playing with a great quarterback. But I think if you're honest right now, you would have to have more trepidation about what he's going to be than anticipation for what he might be.
Yes. I think trepidation versus anticipation. I think that's a great way to sum it up. Look at you. I think that's perfect.
Two pretty big words, too.
Two big words. But I throw that question out to everybody listening. All the Bronco fans out there right now, you are forced to choose. You look at Jerry Jeudy right now. Do you look at him with anticipation or trepidation?
Anticipation. It's a making me wait.
Coming up.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yes.
Got me thinking about ketchup.
I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah, I could go for. You know, by the way, we're going a little longer today. You're getting a little extra bonus, Schlereth and Evans, because
yes.
Chad and Nate, they're going to be starting their show a little bit later out there at UC Health Training Center. So until they can start, we'll take it into the next hour.
Ooh,
could be a full hour.
Have to talk to my agent.
Putting in for some overtime.
Yeah. OT.
Coming up, for all of you Bronco fans who would prefer they stay right where they are when it comes to their stadium, going to tell you why you're going to be disappointed. Next.
Mountain High Appliance presents Training Camp 2022. Ready to ride. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Later today, we will be introduced to the new Bronco ownership group. Everybody expected to be there except for Sir Lewis Hamilton. By the way, is he Sir Lewis Hamilton?
Oh, yeah. Sir Lewis.
Not Lewis Hamilton.
No.
Sir Lewis Hamilton.
He's been knighted. Yeah. I wanted to have our official knighting.
You want to be knighted?
Yeah. Why can't we be knighted?
All right, I'll go down this road with you. Why is it important to you to be knighted?
Oh, that sounds cool.
Well, it does.
Right.
Sir Mark Schlereth.
Right.
Sir Stink.
Sir Michael Evans.
Does have a ring to it.
Right.
Now that you mention it.
Because you can extend your name. Like, my Mark is, you can't go Markle. Sir Markle Evans. Or Sir Markle Schlereth. But Sir Michael Evans.
Right. Now, if you were a Marcus.
Marcus.
That could work. Yeah, but like they're
Marcus
not.
Marcus Aurelius.
Right.
But Sir Michael Evans the III.
Ooh.
Nice to see you, sir.
Right. Yes. What was your dad's name?
Stanley.
Oh, yeah. So you can't. We just throw a
Stan.
Third on there for
Stan.
That.
He's just Stan.
We throw a third on there just for the heck
My
of it.
My dad was Stan.
Stan.
Yeah.
That's a good
Nobody called him Stanley. Just Stan.
Stan.
No one gets called Stan. Remember recently we were talking about names that nobody gets named anymore?
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's named fill in the blank.
Right.
Nobody's named Stan anymore. Nobody names their kid Stan.
Stan.
Stan used to be a name. Right. A lot of everybody knew a Stan.
Stan is just a Stan because Stan is just blue collar. Like Stan, like when your furnace goes out, Stan can come over in the middle of the night. Boom. Your next door neighbor goes, oh, yeah, you just got to relight the pilot light.
Yeah, done.
And it's just done.
Thanks, Stan.
Thanks, Stan. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
You got it. Puts his wrench back in his pocket and walks back home. Your dad was blue collar, wasn't he?
My dad worked. My dad in Poolside would have got along great. Mm-hmm. My dad's ideal weekend was getting out at 7 a.m. and starting work on a summer project, an outdoor project. Yeah. Always had something going on.
Right.
Always something going on. Miss him. He's been gone for 4 years now. So, so the owners will be introduced later today, and there's been so much debate about the stadium, what to do, new stadium, and. Stan Kroenke yesterday, of course, was at the owners' meetings, and he was asked his impression of the new ownership group.
Having people that you know you can count on that are forward-looking, that are progressive and want to invest in the facilities and communities they're in, that's a big deal.
Mm. You've got a high-powered, deep-pocketed new ownership group that is now part of the club.
Right.
And to think that they're going to just come in here, maintain the status quo, and be content to just move on in perpetuity with the current stadium, you're just missing the boat. This is a group that's going to want to come in. They're going to want to do something bold, audacious, big. They're going to want to develop. They want a shiny new stadium with all the bells and whistles and all the opportunities to develop around it. The idea that they are just content to stay with what they've got, You're going to get a new stadium, folks. You're going to get a new stadium.
The stadium that Stan Kroenke built out there in Los Angeles, one, it's a showpiece. And it's incredible. It's an incredible stadium. Incredible showpiece. It is something the NFL wants to show off. The NFL, obviously, I mean, they had the Super Bowl there last year, for crying out loud, right? So, you know, what it does for commerce in that general area, you think about that. You build that kind of stadium here in Denver, Colorado, with a retractable roof, something that you can open and close. I mean, instantly, you go on the Super Bowl rotation. And
immediately,
and you create all that commerce. You create that. I mean, you create an NFL showpiece. There is no question that that's part of now, kind of the whole plan as organizations start to see their stadium go in decline. Like, okay, what's next for us? And you can give Stan Kroenke a lot of grief for a lot of things, but I will tell you this, man, he has created the template. You know, wash, rinse, repeat. If you ever read a shampoo bottle, who knew you were supposed to wash twice? Wash, rinse, repeat. I think it's just a way.
Do you repeat?
To get you to use more shampoo.
Exactly. Who needs to repeat?
I don't.
Once is enough.
I don't play that game. Well, number one, I don't use shampoo. I just use a bar of soap.
What?
I don't know you. I just go straight bar of soap.
You come from the mud.
I do. Even in the hotel, you know, they got those little fancy shampoos and stuff. Give me the bar soap. Boom.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, I just... It's the way I operate.
But you had Kroenke also saying yesterday, yeah, I've known Rob for this many years. I know Greg for this many decades and so on. So there is a what do you tend to have with family members? What is part of the family member dynamic? You have hopefully love.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you have good memories, but you have a certain level of competition, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think that this group is well aware of the palace that Stan Kroenke built?
Right.
And all the benefits that he's reaping from it and how people talk about his stadium just the way you just did?
Yeah.
You don't think they want to do something like that?
Oh, I'm sure. And like I said, he created the blueprint. He created the template for how it's supposed. I mean, come on, think about it. You know, one, he moves his team back to Los Angeles. They play in, you know, wherever USC play. What's the stadium out there, the iconic stadium?
Coliseum.
The Coliseum. They play in the Coliseum for a couple of years. They start the project. They build it out. And they move in there in the second year of existence. They win the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Hadn't been done. Like, think about that. Think about the way that is. Hadn't been done in what, 55 years? And then Tampa wins it in their stadium, and then Los Angeles wins it in their stadium. Back-to-back years. Which means, where is it this year? Where's the Super Bowl this year?
Arizona.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. Okay, that one ended. Cardinals are not winning the Super Bowl.
Streaks were made to be broken.
All right. Yeah, they're not. They can't even get their quarterback to study.
Oh, jeez. Too soon?
Too soon? I think he'll win the Super Bowl and get 4 hours of independent study.
He's not going to live that one down, is he?
Oh, my God.
I don't care if they took the claws out. Damage has been done.
Yeah.
I'll never let go.
Do you think that when I get an Arizona game this year, is it going to be awkward? Do I bring it up? Does their PR guy, Mark Dalton, say, hey, we're not going to talk about this?
Yeah, I think you're going to get that.
I do, too. Like that's an off limit. Although you could just come into the meeting and say, hey, man, enlighten me on this because I haven't really done any studying on it. Good. No, I wouldn't do that.
Or you could just say, hey, Kyler, we'll make this fast since I'm sure you have someplace else to be.
Go. Ouch. Ouch. Okay. Hey, nobody share this sound with the Arizona people. I love the Arizona people. Mark Dalton is one
We're
of
just having
ones.
Fun.
Yeah, and I actually really like Kyler Murray. I've done a lot of things with Kyler, so hopefully it's all water on the bridge, and they're great.
Our analysis
Thank
of
God
training.
We got the little guy.
Our analysis of training. He's there still.
Yeah,
Vance.
Boy, Vance.
Vance might be a head coach in the NFL next year.
Well, he got a chance. I tell you what, I think he's done a good job with his defense.
Our analysis of Training Camp 2022 Ready to Ride is presented by Mountain High Appliance. We're not going anywhere because Chad and Nate are going to be broadcasting live from UC Health Training Center. But due to, well, I'm not going to get into all the details, but they're going to have to start a little bit later on this morning. So we're going to keep going for a while into the next hour. So stick around. We're not going anywhere. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.